Road of Life, brought to you by Dove, D-U-Z, Dove, the new kind of soap that does everything in your wash.
Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery. Dr. Brent, call surgery.
Mrs. Sebastian didn't.
She didn't.
But now she does use Dove.
Now she knows Dove, D-U-Z, Dove best. She's convinced this new kind of soap does everything in the wash. You know, Mrs. Sebastian used to scrub away at her husband's dirty overalls.
Oh, there must be an easier way.
She'd fuss over her towels.
They never turn out white enough for me.
And she'd worry over her pretty rayons.
I never know how those colors are going to look.
Then one day, this lady who didn't became a lady who does. She heard a neighbor say, does is best. Does everything. For towels, it gives you unsurpassed whiteness. For grimy work clothes, unbeaten cleaning power. And for nice colors, greater safety. So now, wash day is a does day for Mrs. Sebastian. Now she beams at those clean overalls.
Imagine, does did them without hard scrubbing.
Sure, no soap made gets tough dirt out easier. Then she points at her towels.
Look! I've never had a whiter wash.
Of course not. No soap anywhere washes whiter than Dove's. And she looks at those rayon undies.
Dove does wonders for pretty colors. Leaves them brighter.
Sure, Dove's is safer for colors. You see, Dove's does everything. It's been proved the best in actual comparisons with 25 different wash day soaps. Dove's beat them all with its terrific combination of white washes, suds for cleaning, and safety to colors. So, be a lady who does. You'll find does best. Does everything. And now we invite you to listen to Road of Life. Jim Brent, in his determination to succeed as chief of staff of Wiley Memorial Hospital, forced himself to campaign for money which could purchase badly needed neurological equipment. His attempt, however, failed. Augustus Post, one of Chicago's leading merchants, turned him down cold. Crushed and disappointed, Jim called the chairman of the hospital's board of trustees, Big Bill Wiley, to report his failure. But before he had time to talk, Wiley's secretary told him that Mr. Wiley had been trying to contact him all day, that it was imperative he speak with him, that it would be an excellent idea if Dr. Brent could come over to the office at once. Somewhat puzzled by this, Jim drove to City Hall and entered Wiley's office.
Come in, Jim.
Hello, Bill. I didn't know you were busy. Your secretary said that you wanted to see me right away.
That's just what I want to do. I've been looking high and low for you ever since 11 this morning. Jim, I want you to meet Mr. and Mrs. Bedecker.
Oh, how do you do?
How do you do, Doctor?
We've heard a great deal about you from Bill, Dr. Brent.
You know, the Bedeckers are old friends of mine, Jim. I used to use their basement for a polling place during elections when I first started out as a precinct captain back in the old 21st Ward.
Yeah. Oh, yes, those were the days, all right.
You bet they were. I used to start getting out of the boat at 6 o'clock in the morning.
And wind up at 8 in the evening.
Sit down, Jim, sit down. Make yourself comfortable.
Thanks, Bill.
Now, what's on your mind, boy?
Huh? Oh, nothing.
Come on, now, you can't kid me, you know. How'd you make out with Madeline Post?
Well, not too well.
The devil, you say?
No, I met her mother and had dinner with him, and... Well, I'll tell you about it another time, Bill.
Well, what's wrong with this time?
Well, the
Bedeckers won't mind, will you, folks?
Of course not.
There you are. All right. Now, what happened, huh?
Well, Mr. Post and I had a long talk, Bill, but, seems we weren't on the same subject.
How do you mean?
What Mr. Post wanted to talk to me about was his wife.
Yeah?
She seemed so pleased with me that... He wanted me to become her personal physician. Wanted to put me on a retainer basis. That's all he was interested in. Well, I will admit it was something of a paradox, Bill, but I didn't think it was quite that funny.
Oh, this is too good. Jim, you'll have to forgive me, but, well, it's just too good. Carla, I got to tell you about this. Yesterday, Madeline Post came running in here and asked me to fix up a parking ticket that she'd been given, see? You know how Gus is about getting any of the family's names in the paper.
Oh, yes, yes.
No, I won't fix a ticket for anybody. But I told her that if she could raise some money for that equipment that Jim needs, well, I'd see what I could do with whoever's sitting in the traffic court, see? Well, she took him home last night. This afternoon, Gus Post calls him down to the store not to talk about donating any money. Oh, no. He wanted to hire Jim to look after that wife of his.
Gus Post wouldn't give a dime away unless you put a gun in his face.
You said it.
Well, I don't know what you two are laughing about. It certainly doesn't seem very amusing to me. Are you going to take Mrs. Post's case, Dr. Brent?
No, I'm sorry, but I had to turn it down.
I'll bet he offered you a nice piece of money to handle it.
He did, Mr. Benninger, but, well, I couldn't see my way clear.
Good for you. I know Ernestine Post. I've known her for years. And there isn't any more wrong with her than there is with me. And I'm as healthy as, well, as I ever was.
You certainly are.
The only trouble with her is that she loves the idea of being sick. He's taken her to every specialist in this country, and not one of them has ever been able to find anything wrong with Ernestine. You didn't, did you, Dr. Brent?
Well, I didn't examine her, Mrs. Bedecker. As much as I dislike making a diagnosis without an examination, I'm afraid you just about hit the nail on the head.
Well, I think you ought to be complimented, Dr. Brent.
Why?
For not accepting that case. Not that it's a case, mind you.
I'm a little too busy at the hospital.
Jim, excuse me for interrupting you, but why don't you tell the Bedeckers something about it?
Something about what?
The hospital.
Oh.
You see, it's the way it is. They've just moved back to Chicago and don't know much about it. And they've been living in Detroit for the last 15 years or so. And I think they'd be sort of interested to know what kind of a plant you have out there.
Well, it's a neuropsychiatric hospital. Not big, rather small, in fact. We have quite a few good neurologists, a few excellent psychiatrists, and a lot more patients than we were built to handle.
Bill tells me you've been doing some wonderful work, Doctor.
Well, thank you. We're doing as much as we can, but, well, conditions being what they are, sometimes we're so busy that half the staff sleeps overnight at the hospital.
I don't see how on earth you doctors can stand all that work.
Well, there are times when I don't know either, Mrs. Bedecker, but we do.
Go on, tell them about that equipment that you want to see, that you went to see Gus Post about.
Oh, there's nothing to tell about, Bill. We need equipment for neurological cases, and we need it badly.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wait a minute. Now, you can do better than that, can't you?
I'm afraid I did all my talking to Mr. Post.
Well, come on, start in again, boy, because Mr. and Mr. Bedecker here are thinking of making a contribution to that hospital here.
What?
That's right.
Well, that's very kind of you.
Oh, it isn't a very big one, Dr. Brand.
Well, all I can tell you about the equipment we need is this. As far as the hospital itself is concerned, we want to grow. We want to become big enough to handle not only private patients, as we do now, but charity cases, too. And disease makes no difference between rich and poor. Both kinds of people are stricken. Mm-hmm. Some can afford treatment and others can't. We want to grow to the point where we can give help to those who can't pay for it. Now, in order to grow, in order to become big enough to do that, we require certain things, and one of those things is neurological equipment.
I see. Well, that makes very good sense, Dr. Brent.
Well, now, the other way to look at it is that that equipment, when properly used, can relieve a great many patients of a very great amount of suffering. Of course, the equipment's expensive. Even the private patients we have in the hospital now can't possibly afford to put out the kind of money it takes to buy those various pieces.
How much equipment do you need, Dr. Brent?
Well, it isn't a question of how much equipment we need, Mr. Bedecker. It's a question of how much money we can get. The more money, the more equipment. The more equipment, the more we hope to be able to do.
Huh? Well, now,
Carl, I'm sure Dr. Brent is busy. We're just wasting his time by keeping him here.
Oh, no,
don't rush me, Emma.
Well, dear, it's 20 after 5 already, and we promised them we'd be there at 5.
Oh. Well, Dr. Brent, I don't know how much we can do for you, but Mrs. Bedecker and I have been thinking for quite a few years of making a gift of one sort or another to a worthy institution. We have no children of our own, you see, so there's really no one to give our money that we have.
The only thing that's held us up is that we didn't know where to give it or to whom.
I see.
As Bill's told you, we've been living in Detroit for the last few years. But now that we've moved back to Chicago, well, both Mr. Bedecker and I were born here, and we've always thought of Chicago as our home. That's one of the reasons we waited. Now, what do you think, Carl?
Seems all right to me.
Well, if you've made up your mind, let's go, shall we? We'll see a lot more of Dr. Brent, but we won't be forgiven if we don't get to that party.
All right. Well, Doctor, there isn't much more to say now. Bill can fill you in on what we've already discussed.
Absolutely, and be glad to.
Well, I can't tell you, Mr. Bettinger, how grateful I am for what you're doing.
If we didn't want a doctor, we wouldn't do it. The point is, we do want to do something.
Oh, Dr. Brent.
Yes?
You just told us that you weren't busy. If you aren't, how would you like to come along with us? Carl and I are going to do something we haven't done in years. We're going to a cocktail party. Just for relaxation, I wonder if you might not like to come along.
Well, thank you, Mrs. Bettinger.
Friends of ours are giving it. I know you'd enjoy them.
Oh, I'm sure I would.
For heaven's sakes, Emma, let the poor man alone. Can't you see he doesn't want to be dragged off to a party? Come on, let's get out of here now before Bill throws us out. Hey, you got your purse?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then let's go. Dr. Brent, I'm very pleased to have met you.
Thank you, sir. I'm very glad to have met both you and Mrs. Bettinger.
Oh, Bill, about that dinner date for Tuesday. It's on.
Good. Here, let me help you with your coat, Emma.
Thanks, I've got it. Well, goodbye, Dr. Brent.
Goodbye, Mrs. Bettinger.
Bill, Tuesday night.
Tuesday night. No, the other door. So long, Carl, and thanks.
Not at all.
Oh, Bill,
Wait a minute.
What?
Well, Jimmy, my boy, I told you that I was always looking out for your interest, didn't I?
Bill, you mean those people are really going to give the hospital some money?
Bet your life they are.
With no more selling than that, why, they haven't even been out to see us.
Yeah, how do you get that stuff, no more selling than that?
What?
What do you think I've been doing with them all the afternoon?
Oh, well, how much are they going to give?
Well, you heard what they said, not very much. You see. Only $300,000.
Three? What?
$300,000, Jimmy, my boy. And it's in the bag.
At precisely the same moment that Carl and Emma Bettinger are on their way out of City Hall, another man is on his way out of a hospital. The man, who is tall, gray-haired, and rather distinguished in appearance, is in excellent humor. He, too, is on his way to a cocktail party. His name is Dr. Grant Frazier. You know, it isn't often you find something that really goes all out for you. But does, sure. Haven't you heard this new kind of soap is best? It does everything in your wash? Well, does even more. It does everything in the dishpan, too.
What do you mean, everything in the dishpan?
Why, I mean, does gives you all this. Suds that stand up till the last dish is done, fast action on grease, plus greater kindness to your hands. Now, how does that sound?
Not bad.
Say, you ought to see does go to work on your dishes. Why, this new kind of soap bounces into suds the instant water strikes it. Suds that really last, so you aren't forever adding soap. And you ought to see the way Does cuts grease. Say, there's no hard scouring. And that means full speed ahead on your frying pan.
Sounds pretty good.
Pretty good. Listen to this. Does is kinder to your hands. Kinder than any other leading wash day soap. It leaves your hands beautifully soft and smooth.
Say, I go for that.
Hooray, I knew you would. You'll find Does best. In the dishpan, too. Does everything. Be sure to listen Monday when D.U.Z. Does will again bring you another absorbing episode on Road of Life. This is Clayton Collier saying good day for the makers of Does, the soap that does everything in your wash. Paper bags and cardboard cartons are scarce. They're needed for overseas. So next time you go shopping, take along your own shopping bag or basket.